And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is what it takes to move forward. Each of my guests is explaining how we can move forward towards what we want. My next guest has been a successful businessman, owned a family-owned auto parts store that he eventually sold to Advanced Auto Parts in 2005. Nowadays, he spends his time as a lecturer and author, going around the country sharing what he knows about business and about life. We're going to talk about his latest book, Finding Happiness. Todd Patkin is, grew up in Needham, Massachusetts, and he owned a family-owned business of auto parts. He attended Tufts University. Eventually, in 2005, he sold the family business to Advanced Auto Parts and now spends his time helping others to advance. He lives in Massachusetts with his wife, his son, and their two dogs. Welcome to the show, Todd. How are you today?
Thanks, Billy. I'm doing fantastic. As we were saying, it's hot in Boston, but I'm doing good. I got air conditioning.
You've got air conditioning, and that's where you want to be on a day like today with the humidity and the heat so high. You and the dogs, you want to stay inside, so then stay hydrated as well.
Yep.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your background and your history, because it is a very fascinating history. Obviously, your family owned the business. You were in the auto parts business. You yourself were an achiever. You went to Tufts University. That is no small task in and of itself. So talk to me about how you really developed and moved into the leadership position at your family business in auto parts, and then how you made that transition to the author and lecturer that you are today.
Sure. Well, I grew up, my book is, I know that you grabbed me on short notice, so I don't know if you know all about my book. It's really about depression, anxiety. Believe it or not, I had a nervous breakdown when I was 36, and I don't think that you're aware of that. And that's really what my book is about. I was extremely successful in business, and I'm happy to share some tips with the audience. But my ambition now is just to help people get more juice out of life. If you're stressed out, if you're unhappy, I believe through my breakdown, I actually had a breakthrough, and I figured out how to live more happily. My book at the end is my 12 Weeks to Living a Happier Life. It's a program to help people learn to be happier, and I have a website, www.findinghappinessthebook.com. So I grew up, and I think a lot of Americans, we really don't do a good job in our culture of teaching our kids just to love themselves for who they are. It's all about achievement in America, the land of opportunity. So I felt like I had to get straight A's in high school and then straight A's at Tufts. And for anyone who isn't familiar with the Boston area, Tufts is considered, that's where you go if you don't get into Harvard, and everybody works so hard. And I felt like the only way I could sleep at night is if I got straight A's, so it was really, really tough for me. But I was fortunate. I got turned on to Tony Robbins when I joined the family business, and I needed his help because our business was quite big. When I went in, we had $18 million in sales, 18 stores. When I left, we were doing over $100 million with 60 stores.
Wow.
And I all of a sudden just fell into it. The guy had a heart attack, and overnight I was in charge of the 20 stores, and I didn't know anything about the business or the auto parts, but I loved people, and I was willing to get up at 5 in the morning and set an example and work harder than anybody else and to be, extremely, extremely honest. And I had tremendous, tremendous success, which I'm happy to talk to your listeners about and give them some tips. But in the end, I had, a nervous breakdown because I was always pushing myself. My medicine at the time was exercise. I would exercise all the time, and that really kept me going. And then I had broken my feet because I became a motivational speaker.
Really?
And I'm fun, so I jumped off tables to get the guys excited. And one day we were doing it in our warehouse on cement floor, and I didn't think to wear sneakers, and I had my dress shoes and broke my feet.
Oh.
And then my wife and I lost a pregnancy. We had a lot of infertility, and I just couldn't work through it because I had, lost my drug, the drug I was addicted to, which was exercise.
I see. Well, now, that is an interesting background. I did know some of your background, Todd, but I find it very interesting that you had this breakthrough. So talk to us a little bit about the breakthrough that you had after you had the breakdown.
Yeah, well, what happened with me is I kind of knew a lot of the things that I needed to do, which was really to be easier on myself and to stop picking at all of my faults. But I, because of the exercise, I never fell to the level where I just said, this is it, enough's enough. When I had my breakdown, Billy, I was actually suicidal for 2 days. That's what a breakdown is. I mean, the neurons in your brain literally stop moving, and you feel so bad about yourself, you'd rather die. And I said to myself, this is just insane. You know, I was making more money than I ever dreamed possible. 2 years later, we sold our company for more money than, you know, we ever thought we could. So I had plenty of money. And again, the book explains why money isn't the key to happiness. It's just an illusion. I had a beautiful wife. I had a wonderful child. I had my health. I mean, I had everything. And here I was, you know, feeling like I'd like to die. I never would have actually killed myself, but I really wanted to just disappear. And I said, this is it. I'm 36. Enough is enough. I'm going to change. And that's one of the things I say when I lecture. You know, some lectures, if I'm in the right mood, I'll just start out and I'll pick someone who looks a little shy and I'll just kind of yell at the top of my voice, we're all going to die, so live. You know, you're going to die. As sure as the sun's going to come up in the morning, we're going to die, so start to live. Because so many of us go through life and, you know, we wake up at 80 and we say, my God, you know, I was afraid to try things. So when I really looked at my life, I realized I had made myself unhappy. And I think a lot of us do that. Most people, I think, do 100 things right in a week and for every one thing they do wrong. But we seem to be wearing glasses in this country that cause us just to look at the ways that we can improve. We're always trying to be better. So we don't give ourselves a pat on the back when things go well. We just say, why did I say that thing? Or why couldn't I have studied a little bit more? Why couldn't I have done this? And we wind up making ourselves really unhappy.
Yeah, that is a shame, and it's what we focus on as well. My guest is Todd Patkin, author of the book Finding Happiness. He himself has found happiness, had his own epiphany. But Todd, you mentioned about how we're so predisposed to pick at the little faults and not really look at either the bigger picture or look at the successes that we have. Now, one of the things I find very interesting, and it's part of your business practices, is that you've got a system to help business owners, to help directors, to help managers really motivate their people, even during these times where money is not of something that's in abundance, that you can give away bonuses and things like that. And you've got some simple things that you can do as a manager to help people feel good. And they all revolve around self-respect. They all revolve around acknowledgement and that kind of stuff. So step us through it. What are a couple, five things that you could do to make your employees feel great during this recession, so maybe they don't lapse into the sort of funk that you yourself fell into?
Yeah. Well, for me, it was very easy because I really just love people. And I know it might sound funny, but if you said, you know, what do? You just love your people. I mean, it's really that simple. As a boss, you're with these people more than you're with anyone. It's really, to me, you know, other than your wife and your children or your husband and your kids, your family really is the people you work with more than mom or dad or sister or brother these days. Mm-hmm. They live across the country. So you really want to just appreciate people. And what you need to understand is big people are like little people. And what I mean by that is adults want love and appreciation and to feel like heroes, just like we did when we were three or four on the playground. And we don't have those opportunities these days. So if you're a boss, people will always tell you it's about the money, but it isn't. Trust me, they need a certain amount of money. You've got to decide that you're, as a manager, it isn't your job to find people when people are making mistakes. It's when people are doing outstanding things and you just tell them how great they are and how much you appreciate them and you lift them to the mountains. Because if you're only looking to find fault, people will do just enough to avoid criticism. But if you're constantly telling them they're wonderful and you're the person who's making them feel great, they'll want to get that pat in the back again and again and again, and they'll just keep doing better. So it's all about praising people, and the first way to praise someone, as I say, is just to send them a love note. And when I say love, look, I'm not telling you to send, you know, your secretary a love note and get sued. You know, I used to send notes to the biggest, tallest guy you've ever seen, you know, and it wasn't, when I say love note, I just say, I'm so lucky to have you, you're amazing, thank you. And I was a huge hugger, you know, when I first started working in the company, these big men working in auto parts would be uncomfortable, but a year or two later, if I didn't hug everyone in the store, they'd call my secretary and say, doesn't he like me anymore? What's wrong? They'd feel real bad about it. So it's just really appreciating and loving your people and including them when there's a tough decision to be made, making them feel, you know, that you value what they have to say.
All right. Now, wait, I want to stop you right there, Todd, because there's some good nuggets of great information there. First of all, I want to ask you, it's great in theory to say, oh, love your people and that kind of stuff. But let's face it, as managers, as owners of businesses, we feel the pressure every single day. How do you rise above the pressure that you're feeling from either directors or your boss or outside influences? And how do you rise above that to love your people, to appreciate what they're doing, even though you might be getting beaten up by outside forces yourself?
Well, I think that, number one, you've got to, you know, it's got to be natural to you. And you're either someone who's a happy, positive person who thinks most people are good, or you don't. I am a firm believer that the most important thing you can do if you want to be successful in business, other than being honest and working hard, is going to the gym and working out. You know, if you're in a high-stress position, I know that when I took over the chain, the first 2 or 3 years, you know, our company was in deep trouble, but I would go to the gym. So you work through the stress. But I can tell you right now, if you, you know, are a manager and you want to be successful and you catch your people doing things great, catch your people doing things wonderful, and you sing about them to the rest of the company, and then in private you tell them how great they are. Listen, I also was a tough guy. If I had somebody who wasn't doing the job and I felt was letting themselves down, always in private, but I would hammer them because I love them, just like I'd love my son if he wasn't doing as well as he could in life.
Okay, now that's good advice. The other thing that I picked up on in your earlier answer, Todd, which I thought was great, is you said include others in your decisions. In other words, bring the family, the work family, together to get their input and give them some word, some thought in the decision-making process. Expand on that a little bit. How did you implement that at your auto parts store?
You know, one of the things I resent the most about owners of business is when they think that just because maybe they had a, you know, an extra year of education, or because they inherited the company, they're smarter than the employees. You know, the guys who knew the most about my business many times were the drivers earning $6 or $7 an hour, who would go out in a day like today that's 110 degrees with humidity around 100 and just come back and say, you know, I bet it would mean the world to our accounts if we just sent them ice cream. And we did that. We'd send an ice cream truck around. So it's little things, you know, but many times you've got the owners and the managers in the warehouse, in the glass house, so to speak, thinking that they know everything, and all of a sudden they make decisions that don't make sense. Even if as an owner you know that you're going to do something, but you pull all of your people in and you just listen to them for 3 hours and you do exactly what you planned on doing, but at least they feel like you listened to them, they're a lot more apt to be positive if they feel like you valued their opinion and that they're all part of a team. So I was lucky, to be honest with you, Billy. I didn't know anything about auto parts.
Really?
So if I didn't, you know, listen to my guys, I would have failed miserably.
Oh.
All I did was work harder than anybody else. I offered, you know, tremendous fun and excitement, took them to all the Red Sox games, told them I loved them, and then they told me what was needed, and I made sure that we got it done.
Ah, my guest is Todd Patkin, author of the book Finding Happiness. Now, Todd, Love Notes is one way that you can show appreciation for your people. What are some other things that you can do that are low-cost or no-cost ways?
You want me to tell you a real doozy?
What's that?
All right, the thing that I did that I think shocked most people, and in general, if you knew me, I like to kind of be outrageous because, as I said, you know, the one thing we know is that we're all going to, you know, at one point leave this planet. Let's say that you, Billy, worked for me and you set an all-time store record in sales.
Okay.
And let's say that I knew that your wife worked during the day and that you had two daughters named Jill and Kim. And your wife was Debbie. Well, I'd call your answer machine at 2 in the afternoon, and I'd say, Jill and Kimmy, I got to tell you, this is Todd. I work with your father. Your dad is the single greatest thing that ever happened to me and my company. He just broke the record. Debbie, your husband's amazing. Guys, when he comes home from work, please, I want you to jump at him. I want you to scream. I want you to get balloons. I want you to tell him he's the greatest. I want you to give him hugs and kisses and tell him it's amazing that he broke that record that Todd called, and he's just the world's greatest father and greatest person in the world.
Now, you don't find that in any of the other management books out there, but what a great tip. What a great idea. Just simply calling the family and including the family in on the person's success, that's a huge win for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't cost me anything, and I can tell you today that the managers that I did that to, when I see them 10, 20 years later, they'll say, you know, Todd, that was just amazing. And I also probably threw them $200, $300, $400. Even if I had thrown them a grand, that probably meant more to them. Because, as I said, you know, we still want to have, like when we were little and our mother put, you know, our report card in the refrigerator. Even you, I don't know how old you are, I'm 46. I'd love to have, you know, my mom or my wife, you know, tell me I'm great. But They don't do that as much if you've been married 20 years. You don't get as much at home. So as an owner, and you know, when you're doing that, trust me, that guy wants me to call his wife and daughters again. So he's going to work harder for me.
That is great. Well, Todd, if you were talking to business people today, and you are, because most of the people listening to the sound of our voice either work in business or own businesses themselves, what is the one piece of advice that you would give them during this recession as we're coming out of it to really make their employees feel as though that they're appreciated, that they're honored? Simple thing that they can do that will improve morale starting next week?
Again, I think that, you know, being honest with your people. I think something as cheap as an ice cream party, you know, it doesn't have to be. Maybe in the past you had Christmas parties, so you spend a little bit money on an ice cream party. If you're having real problems, include them in the decision-making. I also want to add, you know, really play to your best people. I think one of the mistakes owners and managers in companies make is they spend all of their time trying to motivate their negative people. Forget about your negative people. Either fire them or just leave them alone. Focus on your best people. Just tell them how great they are. You can't believe your best people can do 10 or 20 times more than you think if you re-recruit them every day. So play to your strengths. Be honest with your people. Tell them you need their help. Tell them you love them. And throw them an ice cream party for, you know, $500, even if you don't have it. You'll get it back tenfold.
My guest has been Todd Patkin, author of the book Finding Happiness. And Todd, your enthusiasm comes through over the radio. I can just feel it. It's contagious. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Thank you. If you go to my website, findinghappinessthebook.com, look at my trailer. And then I think if you go to my 12 Weeks to Living a Happier Life, you'll just hopefully love it. You'll see 12 different segments, 5 minutes with me on video each week, recommending you add one new thing to your life. And I truly believe if you stick with it, and that's all free on my website, you will have changed your life and you'll be a happier person. Or you can certainly buy the book at Amazon.com.
Or even here at Bank of Books, our own locally owned independent bookstore, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street. Todd, thank you so much for being my special guest.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
Take care.